Hallo ihr Lieben und herzlich willkommen zurück zu Center Talks Episode 1.40, die Super Bowl Preview Show. Und die ist heute ein wenig anders als normal. Wir switchen gleich ins Englische. Das liegt daran, dass ich heute einen Gast habe, den Stephen Miranda, der Gründer Originalmacher des Podcasts ist, den ich immer gehört habe als Football-Podcast, NFL Rants and Raves. Wer Bock hat, kann sich das angucken und vor allen Dingen anhören bei iTunes, denn da kriegt man noch die Folgen, zumindest von der letzten Episode. Und alles Weitere werden wir euch gleich erzählen. Ich entschuldige mich schon mal im Vorfeld für mein vielleicht nicht immer ganz so geiles Englisch, aber ich denke, ihr werdet halbwegs verstehen, was ich will. Stephen ist ja sowieso Englisch-Native-Speaker. Das wird ganz gut werden. Ich freue mich total, dass er dabei ist. Und wünsche euch jetzt viel Spaß mit dem Super Bowl Preview. Welcome back to Center Talks, Episode 1.40, the Super Bowl Preview Show. And as I told you in the disclaimer, or I don't know the German word yet, Vorwort is the German word, we are recording this show in English because I am very happy because I'm having a very special guest. The man who started this podcast, basically, we will tell you how this happened. And a few news for the NFL, for college, one news for college. And we will talk, of course, about the Super Bowl and what we have to expect from that game. All that and more after the intro. So my guest today is Stephen Miranda. He is founder of the podcast NFL Rants and Raves. And I said in the beginning, he's the reason because why I'm doing this podcast. And that's basically the story goes like this, Stephen. I was a listener for your podcast, to your podcast. That's the correct provision. I listened to your podcast for 10 years, not the complete 15 years, but right about 10 years. And I was so sad when you stopped doing the podcast. And I was missing something in my daily life, so to say. And I looked over here in Germany and also in the English for a podcast I can listen to. And I didn't found one which satisfied me. I mean, I'm listening to the Adam Schefter podcast, right? But that he's a serious journalist, I would say.
Right
down straight.
Well, and I can't tell you how, I guess, happy and kind of sad I am to hear this. Because, you know, I'm happy that you have, you know, decided to go on your own, make your own podcast, get your own NFL information out there. But I'm sad because it was one of the hardest decisions I had to make to decide to stop doing NFL Rants and Raves. It was really hard, but I thought after 15 years, I had seen a lot, I had done a lot, and it was kind of time. And it's actually freed up my time. I've always wanted to write a science fiction novel.
Yeah.
And it freed up my time. I'm happy to complete. I just completed my first science fiction novel.
Congratulations.
I'm in the process of working out, trying to get it published. But so that's what I'm doing now. I still watch NFL. I still have my 8 television sets that come out on Sunday, and I've got all the games up. I just felt that I needed to step back and stop talking so much about the game, which is odd because when we talk about the trade that happened between the Rams and the Lions in a little bit later on in the show, you will find out that it almost brought me back to the microphone.
Yeah, I was hoping a bit that when I saw that you kind of reactivated your Facebook activities with the NFL Rants and Raves account, I was a bit hopeful that you could do a show season 16. So, yeah.
So here's what happened. So do you know how I started NFL Rants and Raves and how?
Yeah, I know it. I want you to tell my listeners how it started. Because
story.
Yeah, because for all of you who are listening, I already told you that you can at least listen to the 15th season of NFL Rants and Raves. It's still up. You can still listen to it. And I guess on the homepage, you can still listen to the older stuff, right? I saw the
homepage. That's right. You can still go to NFLRNR.com. Every show for the 15 seasons of NFL R&R are up there, are still on the website. They're available. If you just go to the podcast, you can download them from there. They're still available on iTunes. Many of the shows are. Yep. Here's what happened. In 2005, we got to go about almost 16 years ago. In 2005, the Minnesota Vikings traded Randy Moss, spectacular wide receiver, to the Oakland Raiders for basically nothing.
Yes.
They got a medium round pick. And they got a player from the Raiders that nobody really knew much about. And I lost it. I was like, what in the world are the Minnesota Vikings doing? That is the stupidest thing I have heard of. And 4 days after that trade, I started a blog called NFL Rants and Raves. And my first post was a comparison of Randy Moss and Jerry Rice and their numbers that they had posted through the first 7 seasons, because Randy Moss had been playing for 7 seasons at that time with Minnesota. And Moss either matched or surpassed every category of Jerry Rice's in those first 7 years. With the exception of touchdowns, Jerry Rice had 92 touchdowns in his first 7 years. Randy Moss had 90. So
yeah,
almost the same, right? And I was like, what are these guys doing? I mean, this guy's worth 2, maybe 3 first-round picks. Well, you're giving him away for nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what my whole post started. And about a month after that first post, podcasts had started to rise, and they were kind of getting to be a little bit more known. And I said, I'm taking this blog, and I'm turning it into a podcast. And that's how NFL Rants and Raves got started.
Yeah. And what I really liked over the years was, for us as listeners, we got taken into your and mostly Steven's right personal life. But when we listen to your podcast, I mean, I basically saw your children grow up, but yes. I never saw them, right?
It was what we wanted to do with the show is we wanted to, what we called it was a word that we came up with called edutainment. We wanted to educate people about the National Football League, but we also wanted to entertain, and we wanted to tell stories of how our lives integrated with watching football. American football, this is great. We love it. This is how passionate we are about the sport. And we wanted to just not be, you know, we didn't want to be the Adam Schefter, right? We didn't just want to be a podcast about just reporting news. Here's what's happening in Dallas. Here's what's happening in Philadelphia. Here's what's happening with the New England Patriots. That, you know, you can go get that from ESPN, right? Or whoever you want to go to. We're gonna tell you some stories. We're gonna go to some games. We're going to tell you stories about what happened at those games. Some of the people we met. You know, some of the crazy stories that happened. Jeff and I going to the opening of AT&T Stadium back when it was just Cowboy Stadium. The very first game broke a record. Over 105,000 people packed into that stadium to watch the Giants upset the Dallas Cowboys in their season opener in their brand new stadium. And Jeff getting slapped by a woman there because we were in this standing room only kind of, you know, just stories like that that were just out of the ordinary. You would never expect just two guys going to watch a football game get into so much trouble. So we just wanted to integrate that into our podcast. So I'm very honored that you got to see my little girls grow up. Elena, who when I started this big thing was only 5 years old.
Yes.
And now she is a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
So it's been a wild ride. I've loved it. It's allowed me to meet people that I would have never been able to meet.
You were to cover Super Bowls, right?
5 Super Bowls for Sky Sports News.
Yes.
And Sky Sports News Radio. We went to the first 9 International Series games in London as guests of Sky Sports News. So it was pretty spectacular, you know, something that started in my bedroom with a little snowball microphone,
yeah,
turned into a pretty big thing. And we had this big setup with, you know, dual mics and a triple mic for if we ever had guests. And we got to be on Radio Row for 5 years in a row during Super Bowl week. Saw some great things, interviewed some fantastic players, coaches, celebrities. And so it afforded me a lot of stuff. You know, we got to be guests of naval captains who in Jacksonville, Florida, they invited us to come be a guest of theirs on their naval ships. So we got in these Navy vessels, a frigate and a carrier that we would have never otherwise had that experience.
Yeah.
Because these captains downloaded our show and them and their crews listened to it. So we were pretty fortunate to get to experience that.
Yeah. Yeah, I came to your podcast via a friend who said, yeah, listen to this podcast. These guys are cool. They're having fun with the teams. Back there you had the doink sound for the Cleveland Browns and
that's right.
The Detroit Kitty Cats and
we play the Evil Empire March Star Wars for the New England Patriots.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that was the first podcast I really listened to, and for a long time it was really the only one. And it was really funny, and I was really sad when you guys stopped, just because it was my fun football information. Like you said, you can listen to Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or whatever. They are news guys, but for the listeners, when you guys started, you have your shows were like 2 hours at minimum, mostly 3, and I really liked that. And then you did cut it down to 1 hour because you have families and all that stuff.
Life got in the way.
Yeah, like, stupid life, and you have to work and all that stuff. But
I do recall those two and a half hours. So I think once we pushed it to maybe 2 hours and 40 minutes and something.
Yeah, well, I guess, and then one was near to 3. But it was great. I had so much fun. I always listened to you guys when I drove to work or something. I really liked that. Yeah.
I'll do something when we're done. I will send you the link to that Randy Moss story that I posted on March 10th, 2005.
Nice.
Just a few days after that trade, so that people can go back and you can read that article. And that's the thing that started NFL Rants and Raves.
I'll put in the show notes for all of you the link of the homepage from Steven, so you can go back and listen to all the shows. I do it sometimes.
You know what? I was surprised. I still get an email with the stats of how many times the show is downloaded.
Yeah.
And this last year's Super Bowl preview show in the month of January got downloaded 280 times.
Yeah.
And I was like, who wants to know what we thought about last year's Super Bowl?
Well I'm one of these. Because
there you go.
It's just fun. I like listening to all your takes and all. I listened a few months ago. I listened to the one where Jerry Jones was pissed off of the radio dude who interviewed him. It was last year too.
<That's right. laughs> They cut me off.
But it's still funny, and also sometimes it's just funny, like. You go back in the Game Pass. I use the Game Pass for watching NFL, and you can rewatch all the games from a few years ago. And you'll say, that's the one. I just watched the Cardinals Packers divisional game. That was the year where with the shovel pass to Fitzgerald. It's football, man. It's so
Arizona much. Green Bay where he threw the big Hail Mary and they tied it.
Yeah.
And then Fitzgerald got a pass on the corner. He took it all the way to the 5-yard line. Right. And the very next play, shovel pass, touchdown, game over.
Game over.
Bye-bye, Green Bay. Thank you for making it exciting, but the game's over.
That's how Green Bay does it every year.
I was very, very disappointed that they did not beat Tampa Bay.
Especially how easy they played the week before against the Rams. I mean, Sure, the Rams are not the best offense, but I mean, the defense is good even without Donald. And I was so disappointed.
I think the Packers had some coaching mistakes definitely in that game against the Bucs a couple weeks ago. And it cost them because, I mean, look, they pressured Tom Brady. They got him to throw three interceptions. You think, hey, Brady threw his three interceptions, you're going to win that football game.
Yeah.
But the Packers let it get away from them.
Yeah. Good. But that's the point for the game. Yeah. But I wanted to tell the story basically why I wanted you on the show and why I'm doing the show. Because, I needed my weekly challenge game and I wanted to talk about the NFL in a not so serious way sometimes.
Awesome. I appreciate it. I'm actually, I wish I knew German.
We can make a weekly lesson. I'll teach you for free. No problem.
Okay, that sounds good.
In exchange, you can teach me Spanish because... I had Spanish in school for 1 year, but I guess mi nombre es Johannes is the most I can say.
Mi nombre es Johannes. Claro que sí. Yo te hablo en español y tú me hablas en German.
No, ¿dónde está el supermarché? So, Stephen, I know what kind of team you support normally during the season, but I ask every guest I have. So which is the team you are rooting for?
Oh gosh, I'm kind of a little ashamed to admit it right now, but for as long as I have been a fan of the National Football League and American football, I have been a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Win, lose, or draw, Cowboys till I die is pretty much my motto. So
every year Cowboys going to the Super Bowl.
It's been horrible, right? 25 years of mediocrity and not being able to get back to the big game. It's kind of bad. And this season was exceptionally bad. You have, the Washington football team who wins the division with a losing record. And you're like, oh, man, all you had to do was go 8-8.
Yeah.
8-8 would have won you the division. And they could not have done that, which was pretty sad. I mean, obviously, injuries along the way. Dak Prescott, starting quarterback, goes down. You lose two key pieces on your offensive line, and the team just never looked really good. And even in the games when Andy Dalton came in and he looked pretty good, they still struggled. Too many turnovers, falling behind 10, 14, 17 points. Almost every game they were losing by that many, and they had to come back. And they did come back and won some of those games. But at the end, it was just too much, and it was disappointing that all you had to do was go 8-8 to win your division, and they couldn't even do that. So, for Cowboys and for Cowboys fans, I literally have been saying, and I've been on record, you can go out to NFL Rants and Raves, and you can hear me say this, but I've been on record for 9 years now. Jerry Jones, the owner, has to fire Jerry Jones, the general manager.
Yeah.
Because he cannot do it. He just can't do it. There is no sport where a general manager has been inadequate for 25 years and still kept his job. Mm-hmm. At most, you get maybe 8 years, and if you can't do it in 8 years, you get the axe. Jerry Jones has to do it. He has to find himself a general manager because the general manager, 24/7, 365, all his job to do is focus on the team. You don't have any other distractions. You are 24/7 thinking about how you're going to make your team better, what moves you need to make your team better. And Jerry Jones, unfortunately, he's not committed to being the GM 24/7. He's got foundations that he has to take care of. He's got businesses that he's still running. And
he has the responsibility of an owner.
You have to be focused on being the GM for the team all the time. And that's something that Jerry Jones just can't do. And until he gives up the reins, I'm afraid as a Dallas Cowboy fan, we're going to be seeing a lot of what we're seeing. You know, the fact that that they haven't signed Dak Prescott to a long-term contract, that just shows you right there. That's a distraction that your team shouldn't have.
Mm. That would have been my next question. Do you think Dak Prescott will return?
I think it would be silly if the Dallas Cowboys decided not to bring him back. I think last year they saw what life without Dak Prescott under center is going to do. Because I'll tell you what, if Dak Prescott hadn't gotten hurt, the Cowboys win 9-10 games. He had that. And we'll just look at the numbers. The four games that he played before he got hurt, the Dallas Cowboys were averaging 38 points per day. It was 38 points per game, okay? So even if your defense, which we know the Cowboys' defense was shaky and suspect, even if they're a little suspect, you're putting up 38 points on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to win some football games.
Yes.
The minute Andy Dalton took over for Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys went down to just barely averaging 15 points per game. So that's more than half the points they had when Dak Prescott was the quarterback. If the Cowboys don't see those numbers and say, oh, man, Dak Prescott is our guy, we need to sign this guy long term, give him the contract that he wants to make him happy, then you seriously have to look at Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and be like, Joneses, what are you doing? You know, let's get it done already.
Especially because there are you don't have any real options, I guess. You're not picking high enough.
None.
And there's no quarterback.
You're not picking high enough, so you're going to have to trade up if you're going to want to get a trip. And once again, I'm still not really sold on any of the guys coming out of college. There's some people who really love Trevor Lawrence. I watched the championship game, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is the guy that I want to put, you know, attach my team to and say, take us to the future. I'm not sold on it. I've seen what Dak can do when he's healthy. He gives them the option of mobility. So even if that line is not as strong as it once was, he could still make some moves and get out of the pocket and throw the ball well with his arm. So I hope that Jerry Jones, you know, does the right thing and signs Dak Prescott to a long contract. But it all goes back to Jerry Jones. He's a great man. I think he's a brilliant owner. As far as owners go, he is probably the best. He invests in the stadium. He invests in the team. And as an owner, all he wants to do is see his team win, and that's great. But he's not that great a general manager. He's made some moves that have really kind of hurt the Cowboys. And he needs to fire himself and bring a GM in there. Yep. And let the GM focus on the football team and get it done.
Yeah. To be honest, preseason, I really thought it could be a year where the Cowboys will look good. I had them actually at 12-4 because, to my surprise, they had a good draft, right? I mean, we Giants fans, we made jokes when we saw that, when we heard that Jerry Jones will put himself in a room and nobody can talk to him and he will make the picks all alone. And I was pretty happy because I thought the same as you. It's a GM, Jerry Jones, right? And C.D. Lamb falls to the Cowboys, which was awesome. I thought they had maybe one of the best, at least top three receiver core overall in the NFL. And also, I'm thinking not that much of Dak, but he's still a good quarterback, right? You still have Elliott at running back, and yeah, you have to reshuffle the line. The losing of Travis Frederick really hurt the center. That was big. And unfortunately, his successor from also Wisconsin, Tyler. I can't speak the name really. Biadic, something like that. Biadic, something like that. I mean, he's a rookie. You can't ask from a rookie to get to replace an all-pro center from 0 to 100.
Yeah, and on the line, I think the biggest weakness was Terrence Steele. They kept him in the starting lineup far too long. He was a revolving turnstile,
if you know what it is. Yeah, I know.
he was pretty awful, and the fact that he was a starter for as long as he was for the Dallas Cowboys, that was pretty bad. So. Yeah. Yeah, there's always next year, but I've been saying that for 25 years, so I'm pretty done with that.
Yeah, but I mean, at least you have the honor to see your team win a Super Bowl in your lifetime, right?
I was there for all three, so yeah I've seen it.
I had the privilege to see two giant Super Bowl wins in TV, not but I saw both Super Bowls against the Patriots, so I'm still very lucky. I have a friend who is a former coach of me. He's Buffalo Bills fan for a long time. He saw the four Super Bowls going down.
Ooh, that's tough.
He really had a tough time. And
can you imagine how amazing it is to get your team to four Super Bowls in a row? In a row, four times, you've got a shot to be the best, and four times you lose. I can't even pretend to imagine.
That's pain, yeah. And by the way, in that turn, bringing in a new offense system, right? They were the ones who got to the no huddle offense, and they scored at will, basically.
Run and shoot, whatever you wanted to call it. Fast pace, come up here, you know, throw, get the defense tired. They were phenomenal at it. Yeah. But then when it came to the Super Bowl, they just couldn't execute the way, you know, they had turnovers. Thurman Thomas fumbled the ball a couple times in crucial situations. You know, their kicker misses a kick.
Which brings us to kickers.
Here's Scott Norwood, you know, come on. It was just so many things went wrong for the Buffalo Bills at the wrong time. Look, it is an amazing accomplishment. They can be happy that four Super Bowls, there's no team. I don't think a team will ever get to the Super Bowl four. Well, okay, the Chiefs, maybe. Two in a row. They might be able to pull off two in a row. But I don't see another team going to four consecutive Super Bowls in a row, which is something the Bills did. They could never get the win, unfortunately.
Yeah. Just for that, I saw on NFL Game Pass a few weeks ago the four downfalls of Buffalo. You can see it on the Game Pass. It's a pretty interesting story about this team. You can see everything what the Bills. Yeah. So the thing is, like I said, we both were lucky to see our teams win Super Bowls. The thing in Germany is you have so many different teams, fans for teams. I mean, basically, I know a guy for every 32 NFL teams who are a fan. I know a dude who is Jacksonville Jaguars fan here in Germany. He never wore the Jacksonville.
Well, you know, one of the things I did when I went to my first three games in London, I called it the UN of the NFL.
Yeah, it is.
Because there were jerseys. I mean, it didn't matter who was playing. You know, the first game was Giants Dolphins.
Oh, that was a horrible game.
The stadium was filled with jerseys for every team. Yeah. So before the game started, I would go around and I would just, you know, I have a picture of four guys, four friends, and they are wearing a jersey for each of the NFC East teams. Had a Cowboy fan, a football team fan, Giants fan, and an Eagles fan, and they're all together. And I was like, I got to get this picture because in America, you would never see this.
Yeah, that's in Germany, you have more. Football is really a friendship sport here. We are a third world country when it comes really to playing football, because after the NFL Europe left, you had a big hole. You remember the NFL Europe?
Yeah, NFL Europe. You guys had the Blitzburg, right?
Yeah. I saw Kurt Warner play for Amsterdam. Amsterdam.
Oh, that's right. That's right. When he was playing in France. Yeah.
We had that, and they left, and then we were pretty much on our own here. And sports in Europe is a bit different than in the US. We have a big amateur sport.
Football league, yeah?
Yeah, no, in every sport, basically.
Oh, in every sport.
Very much amateur and little professional. So it's when our German football league, basically the first division, they are that, like, I would say the better team are D2 level at best, and then these mostly D3, and the playbooks are very much basic, much more like you would expect to high school, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And so when we have Americans who come here and play, Sometimes they are from smaller Division I colleges. Sometimes we have big Division I college players, but mostly not. And it's, when you Americans look at will watch it, I guess you would say, man, what's that? That is supposed to be the first league that's, like I said, that's basically high school football for you Americans, I guess, from the level. But it's about 800 people now in Germany who are playing football in all of Germany, which is okay. We're having fun, and but it's different. It's really different. It's just, it's like when an American coach who came here who told me, what are you guys doing? You're not practicing six to seven days a week? No, we come twice a week, right? So it's called training here. And he said, yeah, training, it's what we're doing in the off season, lifting weights and stuff. And yeah, that's basically training for us. Twice a week, the people have to work, and that's our hobby, right? And always funny when the American guys come over and are a bit shocked sometimes.
Yeah. What do you mean you only train twice a week? What's that all about? Yeah. When I played, and this is a long time ago, don't allow this anymore, but when our practices during the summer months, so the couple weeks, 2 weeks before the real season began, we had what was called two-a-days.
Yeah.
We would practice twice a day for 5 days in a row. So yeah. 10 practices in the span of 5 days.
Yeah.
And they don't let the coaches do that anymore. But yeah, we used to have two-a-days, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's a bit different here in Germany. But yeah, like I said, it's getting bigger, really. We had in the last 5 years, we almost doubled the people who play in football. And they are starting very much younger. I started when I was 21. When I was 21, I started with football. Nowadays, we have kids playing under 10 football. That's not normal. That came over the last years. And I'm also being a ref, so I see everything a bit, and it's very funny. Yeah.
That's one of the things, you know, I'm kind of happy to hear that. You know, one of my taglines for the show is bringing American football to the world, right? Yes. I love to see, just people playing football, you know, all over. It's cool. You know, here's a football. Go just start throwing it around and, you know, start having fun. And because I can't remember having a football in my hand when I was little. I was a little kid, probably under 5. And I always had a football with me. And after school, I remember, you know, rushing to get home so we could play. We would play street football, right? Right in front of our house, you know, in the middle of the street. We'd put a cone so that cars couldn't go through. And we would, you know, we'd have our own little street football game. That's just something that I used to do, you know, going all the way back. I actually saw an old home movie that my father did when I was 5 years old. And I'm running around playing with my bigger brothers, you know, my older brothers, playing street football. And it was just so funny.
Yeah, that's basically soccer here in Germany.
Yeah.
Right? That's our main sport. And that's what people. But I looked at the viewership here in Germany for TV because since a few years we're getting football here in free TV, which we hadn't for a long time. I mean, like I said, I use the Game Pass now for years because I really like that you can see all the games, and I hate the German commentators because they are more for people who they approach every game like the viewer never has seen a football game before, and they make a big deal out of a 2 yard run. Right, and you're sitting in front of that and thinking, "What the hell is he talking about?" Right? I mean, right. I know you Americans are annoyed of Chris Collinsworth. Trust me, he's nothing against German commentators. But if you look back,
I really have to learn German then, so I can come be a commentator for you over there and you know spice it up a little bit.
That would be nice. In 2013, we had 950,000 people watching the Super Bowl back then when it was in the free TV, And last year, 1.9 million saw the Super Bowl.
And wow, that is so impressive. Over a million new viewers
in 7 years. In what you have to imagine is, it is night for us when the Super Bowl kicks off.
Yes.
Deep in the night. It's in the night from Sunday to Monday. So most of us, me too, we're taking a day off at work to watch the Super Bowl. And we're meeting, I mean, this year not so much because of freaking COVID, but normally you meet with 4, 5, 6, 7 friends. You watch the Super Bowl together. Mostly you play together football. I always watch with my ex-O-lineman. We are watching together. And yeah, so it's getting bigger. And the last football game I attended as for an American was an NFL Europe game, to be honest. But I'm still want to go over the pound to you guys.
So here's something that you might find interesting and you may have to work with your government for. But in Texas, there is a lawmaker that has proposed a bill to make the Monday after the Super Bowl a state holiday so that nobody has to go to work.
That's a very good idea. I guess I guess football is not big enough yet. When I remember to say what happens in Germany when the Soccer World Cup was in Japan back 10, 15 years ago, right. I remember we took time off in school. We watched with the teachers during school where we were supposed to have lessons. We watched freaking soccer because the games were because of the time zones were about 10, 11 in the morning here in Germany, and everybody wanted to watch football, soccer. So yeah, that's how it is sometimes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So what time? So the game kicks off at your time. When does it start?
It's 0:40 in the morning. So 0:40 a.m. That is.
So that's 12:40.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. 12:40. Yeah. 12:40. And that's a nice starting time. We sometimes have 1:30, depends on the time zone, right?
And so like our Sunday night football game is really your Monday morning.
Yeah, it is. We are starting here at 7 p.m. That's a 1 hour games. That's 7 p.m. here, and then we go on.
Wow, that's.
Yeah, that's commitment.
That's commitment to the NFL when you're staying up overnight to watch those games.
Yeah. Thankfully, like I said, when you have the Game Pass, especially in the European version, you can go on the next day and you can watch the game in 40 minutes without commercials.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if you guys have that too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's nice. So when I have a game I really don't want to see, I can go to bed. yeah. That's
why I'll watch the highlights in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes that's just enough. Good. After all the talk, Stephen, we go to a few NFL news because we have to tell the people what's going on in the NFL. I left my listeners back after the championship games, and since then a bit happened. We start with the last head coaching vacancy we had with the Houston Texans, which we come in a few minutes to, because I guess you have a bit to say about that situation.
there were a lot of teams that needed new head coaches, right?
Yes.
And there's something about the Houston Texans and the organization, and I don't know if it comes with the top, but I don't think that they normally make the best choices when it comes to who they're going to hire. Yep. You know, before they had a coach who not only was their head coach, he was their general manager. So they gave him a whole lot of power, right?
Yes.
And he didn't really wield that power correctly. I mean, he lets go of Deshaun Watson. He gives a couple first round picks to Miami for an offensive lineman. Yeah. He's a good offensive lineman, but really that much?
Not worth that much.
That much power. And then you're not really taking into consideration Deshaun Watson, right? And I think that he alienated Deshaun Watson so much, now Deshaun Watson doesn't even want to play for you. So here you go, you hire a head coach, you don't talk to Deshaun Watson, who's the leader of your team, your starting quarterback, you don't take his advice as to who he wants to come in and be the new head coach of the team. You have a coach like Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, who has been phenomenal over the last 3 years, and you bring him in for one quick, short interview, and you don't wait for the season to be over before you maybe bring him back in again and possibly interview him for the position, and you go and you hire David Culley.
Yep.
Now, if you're sitting there and you're asking yourself, who? That's what I did, okay? Yep. And Culley,
I had to look him up.
His last position, he was the wide receivers coach and the passing game coordinator / assistant head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Now,
yeah,
the Baltimore Ravens is a great organization. I get that. But do you really have any power when you're the assistant head coach? I don't know how much power you have. You know, being a wide receivers coach, that's a position, coaching position. I don't know how closely you work with the offensive coordinator. You're taking a guy who hasn't been a coordinator, either on the offensive, defensive side of the ball, and you're giving him head coaching powers over a team that needs a lot of work. You're going to have to really, you know, well, first of all, let's just look at Deshaun Watson. Is he going to come back? Is he going to be the quarterback of the team? If he's the starting quarterback of the team, him and the coach are going to have to be on the same page and see eye to eye. Otherwise, it's going to be another disastrous season. I just think that is, of all the head coaches that got hired over the last several weeks, I think that was the worst one, because I'm not sure that David Culley is going to be the right fit offensively for that Houston Texans team.
Yeah, he was the wide receivers coach at the Kansas City Chiefs in the season the Chiefs didn't score a wide receiver touchdown.
So what does that tell you? He's a wide receivers coach who can't get his players involved in the football game.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that David Culley became the new head coach was due to the fact that the Houston Texans are a mess at the moment, starting with trouble.
You know, one of the head coaching jobs that I did like? The Atlanta Falcons. They went on and they went and they poached offensive coordinator from the Tennessee Titans, Arthur Smith. If he can take a declining quarterback that they got from the Miami Dolphins there, right, and Ryan Tannehill, and make him viable again, and make him productive, and take that offense to another level in Tennessee, what is he going to do with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and all of the weapons that
Kevin Ridley
on the offensive side of the ball there? Yeah. I think that was a great hire by the Atlanta Falcons. And when I see that hire, I look at Houston and I have to say, what did you do? Yeah. What is – explain it to me, because I don't understand it.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, like I said, it started with a mess with the hiring of the new GM, where Watson got pissed because he thought he could talk a little bit into it, right? He wasn't happy because they told him they basically said he can participate in the hiring of the new GM, and they didn't ask him, right? And then he was pissed off, understandably, if that was the deal. And I mean, Houston had a quarterback. They were in a good position to take a quick reshuffle, right? They didn't have to go franchise quarterback again. They had tools, and now we are at a position, like you said, we don't even know if Deshaun Watson is playing for the Houston Texans in 2021, which is horrible, really horrible. And then, I don't know. I think the hiring of Culley came came just because nobody else wanted this job at the end. I mean, it was a job.
You know what? I don't know if you saw this clip, but here we actually saw a clip of J.J. Watt. He's on the defensive side of the ball for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Phenomenal defensive player. And it's the last game of the season. The game's over. And he and Deshaun Watson are walking off the field.
Yeah, I saw that clip.
J.J. Watt tells him, I'm sorry we wasted one of your years.
Yeah, I saw that clip.
That probably tells Deshaun Watson, yeah, you did waste one of my years, man. I'm wasting away here in Houston. I don't blame Deshaun for saying, I want to trade.
Yeah.
Definitely don't blame him at all. Look, one thing I know that quarterbacks need is they need consistency, right? What we're seeing with the Patrick Mahomes, he's been with Andy Reid, and that's all he's ever known, right? And so he continues to get better because he continues to start understanding Andy Reid's philosophy year after year after year. What are we building on? What are we going to try and do next year? What are we doing different? And it's the same offensive philosophy, and that gives you a consistency. You become more confident. You start doing things better. Now here you have Deshaun Watson. That Bill O'Brien didn't really mesh with him well. Then you don't. I think what it was after game four that he got fired.
Yeah.
So,
right there.
So after game four, he's gone. You know, you have an interim head coach. Then you bring in another guy that, you know, Deshaun Watson doesn't know a lot of, doesn't know really anything about David Culley. And now he's thinking, okay, you just wasted my year last year. This year is going to be a waste because I don't have the confidence that David Culley is going to be able to lead us to the playoffs in his first year as a head coach ever.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with that anymore. Put me in a team where we can go compete and maybe get into the playoffs because I don't have the confidence that Houston is in that position. So I don't blame Deshaun Watson. I would ask for a trade too.
Yeah, it will be interesting because he has a no-trade clause in his contract, which Bill O'Brien gave him. And I'm just curious because what I'm reading is that he prefers the Jets, and that is the thing. I think then he can stay in Houston too. It doesn't matter if you go to the Jets or you go to stay in Houston. That really doesn't matter. The head coaching I didn't understand is the wrong word, but what I was expecting really that the Chargers would hire Eric Bieniemy. I really thought they would hire him, and
because of his Charger ties, that would have made
perfect right. sense. Just and the fact that yes, he doesn't call all the plays in with the Chiefs, but he's an offensive guy. You have Justin Herbert, a really promising rookie. They have a good offensive Chargers. And they hired the defense coordinator from the Rams. I mean, still, the Chargers have a good defense, too. They paid Bosa, not just for fun, right? They have a good
pass rush. Yeah, but I think with the Chargers, I think they had options when it came to hiring coaches. They like you said, you know, they could have gone offensive route with Bieniemy because they have a young offense. You know, the rookie quarterback, Herbert, he looked fantastic this season.
He did way better than everybody expected.
But as you say, Bosa and Miller and all the guys that they have on the defensive side of the ball, they got a young secondary that played pretty well last year. To bring in Brandon Staley, it made sense. It's not a head scratcher.
No.
It's Houston Texans. It made sense. The thing is, I find it odd whenever the coach that is hired hasn't been at least at a minimum either an offensive or a defensive coordinator, right? Yeah. Because you, as a defensive or an offensive coordinator, you're in charge as much of that side of the ball as the head coach is, right? Yeah. It really is your side of the ball. You're a defensive coordinator. That defense, the stamp that you're putting on that defense, it's yours. So, you know, the next step is to become a head coach and put your stamp on a whole team, not just one side of the ball. What Houston did is they took a guy who was in charge of a minuscule chunk of the offense.
Yeah.
So he doesn't run the offense. He just runs a tiny bit of the offense. And he doesn't even run the offense. He just coaches that that position. And to make him a head coach without the experience of putting your stamp on an entire one side of the ball or the other, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me. But Brandon Staley, even though I would have loved to see Bieniemy, the head coach of the Chargers, I think that Brandon Staley, because the defense for the Rams has been pretty good over the last several years, it wasn't that bad of a
No, not bad. But I really thought it would be Bieniemy just because of the offense. But I mean, the offense is good. Perhaps they thought getting a defense would upper the defense would be a bit better. I mean, the Chargers lost basically 10 games by a score, right? They were right there. And yeah, I think they are the new team in your town.
The other thing about Bieniemy, he played with the Chargers for four seasons.
Yes.
So, you know, he knows the team. He knows them well. He could have probably come in and fit in, you know, being a player there. And then obviously the success he's having as a head coach. You know, the fact that he still doesn't have a head coaching job, you know, you question the NFL sometimes, some of these teams, what they're doing. But I think he will be a head coach next year somewhere.
I really hope that for him. I mean, I guess the Chiefs are happy that he stays for another year. But yeah, we will see. I find very interesting the Urban Meyer hire. Urban Meyer hire, nice word. I have to say, I'm not a big Urban Meyer
Johan's
fan.
Johan's over here being a poet, rhyming and
yeah,
making...
right. I didn't like Meyer at Ohio State at all. I don't like it his ethics, so to say. We'll see.
That the only reason the Jaguars hired Urban Meyer is because I think he's a coach that Shad Khan, the owner, has liked for forever. Right.
Yeah.
I think if Shad Khan had his druthers, he probably would have hired Urban Meyer 3-4 years ago. But you know, there was some issues with Ohio State, and there was concern about his health and stuff like that. So he didn't pull the trigger then. But I think that it's something that he's always wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of Urban Meyer. I don't think that he is going, you know, when was the last time really did we see a collegiate coach that was really good in college come into the NFL and light it up?
I would say Pete Carroll, but I'm not sure if he...
Pete Carroll's the last guy that you've seen that was, you know, took USC to a lot of national championships, came to college, came into the pros, and he was able to transition the Seahawks, took the Seahawks to a couple Super Bowls, right? Yep.
I mean, everybody remembers when
and before Pete Carroll, it was really, you got to go all the way back to the Jimmy Johnson days, all the way back to the 90s when he came out of Miami and took the college. That's two guys in about 25 years, right? Yep. There's not very many college coaches. You know, Nick Saban, who is fantastic at the collegiate level, he came back and he was a train wreck. Mm-hmm. You know, Lane Kiffin, you know, he wasn't really a great college coach, but he was an okay college coach.
He was
a train wreck in the NFL.
Remember when the Eagles hired Chip Kelly and everybody thought
Chip Kelly, Oregon, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He flamed out in Philadelphia, and now he's unfortunately ruining the UCLA Bruins, which I like to watch football, play football sometimes. Yeah. So, you know, that didn't pan out. So here you are. I don't understand why they think that they're going to be able to take Urban Meyer. He was successful at the collegiate level. And I think sometimes what the owners don't understand is it's a different coaching mentality, right? When you're coaching at the collegiate level, these are kids. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old young men who are trying to get to the point where everybody wants to be, which is in the NFL. They're going to listen to you. You tell them something, they're going to listen to you. You get to the NFL, you got grown men that are making millions of dollars. you can't come in and be all headstone and be tough and try to tell them stuff because it's going to go in one ear and out the other. It's like, what you talking about, old man? You don't, you can't talk to me like that. You know how much money I make? They don't care what you say. You have to be able to coach differently. And I think something about the Pete Carroll, what he was able to do is he was able to transition. He's a rah-rah guy. He's a he likes the players, and he was able to take that style and make it work for him in Seattle. Can Urban Meyer do that for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I don't know. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars got far too many problems. They don't know who their quarterback is. You know, I really thought they were going to run with Minshew Mania. You know, and make him the guy. But, you know, after a couple bad games, they pulled him. So they're not really sure about what they got there. He's got his work cut out for him. Urban Meyer is going to have to, you know, find the guy at the quarterback position for the offense. And then after doing that, he's going to have to shore up a defense that was a little questionable this year. He's got a lot of work, and the Jacksonville Jaguars got a lot of work to do before.
The whole, team has to be reworked. I mean, they sold out completely in the season. And, yeah, I mean, I just said as soon as I heard they hired Meyer, I said, okay, Trevor Lawrence isn't the sure number one pick. Because I also... Justin Fields wasn't playing for Meyer. He's an Ohio State guy, right?
Yeah.
And it's possible. I for me, I say you can take basically every position from Ohio State but quarterback. It's like Alabama. Those quarterbacks are typically not going to have much. At least that's what the history says, right? The last good, the last Alabama quarterback who won something was Joe Namath. Something like that. Really, I looked it up.
You gotta go a long time, yeah.
They had 15 quarterbacks. That's true. Alabama, and two were successful. One was Joe Namath, and the other one was a big name too. I forgot. I guess it was a Cowboys quarterback or something. Really, it was. It's not a typical quarterback school, right? You have
You get good running backs coming out of there. You get good wide receivers, but typically it's not a quarterback that you want to go with.
But it will shake up the draft, I guess. I still think it will be Trevor Lawrence. I saw him. I liked him. I pretty much liked what he did over the last years. Yes, in the college football playoffs, he didn't look very good, but the team itself was not good, really not good. But you saw what difference he made for his team when they played Notre Dame, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where he wasn't playing.
When they played in the regular season and he was out because of COVID protocols, they lost. And then in the playoffs, they rolled over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, in my opinion, though, Notre Dame shouldn't have even been there. So
That's another. But, I mean, in college, I'm a Wisconsin fan. I like the Badgers. Just because, I mean, you know, I was an O-line man my whole football life, and
so my old partner Steve Fry, he's a big Wisconsin guy. So
I know, but I really like watching those teams who run the ball, right? I also like Stanford. I mean, they are not in high class. It's not an.
Here's how you fix the college playoff, right?
Yep.
This is me selling to the NCAA how to fix it. All right. Enough of this nonsense and these stupid polls on who's 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And you got this committee of people who's like, oh, let's decide who to put it. You know, really, it's just people's opinion. Here's how you do it. You have the top five power conferences, right? SEC, ACC, Big 12, Pac-10, Big 10, right? You take those five teams, and whoever wins the conference immediately gets to go to the playoffs. You don't win your conference, you don't deserve to be involved in the playoff system. Okay.
Yep.
That's my problem has been with Alabama. Over the last couple of years, they haven't won the SEC, but they still put them in the call of play. No, you have to win your conference or you don't get invited.
Yep.
And then that sixth position will be an at-large position, whether it comes from an independence, you know, or any of the other collegiate colleges who have the best record. That is the one spot that can be determined by polls. That person, that team and then the five conference winners. You have six teams. First two teams get a bye. The other four play each other. They play one and two, and then you get an extra game in the college playoffs. There is no ifs, buts, or whats. It doesn't matter. You win your conference. You're in. Doesn't matter what your ranking is, because I've always hated the rankings. Ever since I was a kid, I thought the ranking system was stupid. It's just dumb because it's just a bunch of, I vote this team number one. Really? They just got their ass kicked by this team that, you have over here at 25. Why does that make sense? Doesn't make any sense. You win your conference. You get a playoff berth. That sixth spot comes from the independents or from the other college conferences with the best record. You get them in there. Six teams. Then you get down to one. There's your champion. And that leaves no doubts. No one gets in that didn't deserve to be there. And that's how you solve the playoff in the college.
I'm still a fan of a 16 teams playoff or something, but that's just because I want more football. I mean, I like that, Johan.
You want more football. That's not a problem.
Last Sunday was the first Sunday without NFL games, right? It was horrible. I had to speak to my wife.
I was walking around like this. I don't know. People can't see the video, but this is how it was. My head, I was just, what am I doing? Yeah. Where? I would walk, honey! Trisha, what am I supposed to do today? I didn't know. I was lost.
I said the same. My girlfriend said, you can talk to me. So I said, I'm out. I go with the dog.
Then I was like, you know what? I could watch last year's Super Bowl. Let's turn it on. Let's check out last year's.
Oh, man. Yeah. What did you think of the seventh playoff seed in the NFL while we are talking playoffs?
I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think being the one seed gave you an extra advantage, right? Now if you're the one seed, you're the only team that gets a bye. And I don't know if that bye week is important.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to have two teams that get the bye, right? You get two teams that get a bye, you kind of even it out a little bit. I really expected the Super Bowl to be Green Bay and Kansas City. I really thought it was going to be the two ones because they had that extra bye. They got to rest up a little bit. They didn't have to worry about COVID during that extra week. Yeah. And I really thought it was going to be one versus one. And for a while there, it looked like that until kind of Green Bay let us down there at the end. The NFL needs to definitely look at things because, once again, you had the Washington Redskins at 7-9, right? It's not a winning record.
Nope.
But you get to host a playoff game.
Yep.
And then they got trounced by Tampa Bay. So, that wasn't really cool. Here I am, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What did Tampa Bay win, 11 games?
Yeah, 11-5.
They were 11-5, and I got to go to Washington, D.C., to play a team that doesn't even have a winning record.
That doesn't even have a name.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the league implements something that if you win your division, you get to go to the playoffs, but you don't necessarily get to host a playoff game. Because if you have a worse record than the wild card team, that doesn't make sense. Because then the record it's kind of irrelevant, right? It doesn't really matter. As long as you get into the playoffs, you're gonna host a playoff.
As long as you're a division winner. Yeah. Yeah, I come from the other end. I don't like this too, just because I thought just the one had the bye. Some teams, the Steelers, for example, they didn't have to play for anything in week 17. Right? If you knew You wouldn't be the number one seed. So it really doesn't matter if you're second or third or fourth. You have to play either way in the wildcard round. So you don't have a bye.
So, yeah, but that's if you only have the number one team with a bye, right?
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
That's why I want the second team to be a bye, right?
Yeah, me too.
There's two teams with a bye. That third and fourth team, they still might have to play week 17 to try and get that bye week. But I understand exactly what you're saying.
So you have nothing to play for when you're not number one,
right? I'm either going to be three or four. Okay, I'm not playing my guys.
who cares? Right. Good. Then we were at the news. next news are two retirement news. First of all, your guy, Jason Witten, finally retired, perhaps, yeah. At least. He's going to be a high school football coach. That's what I read.
Yeah. You know, he's a great guy. Jason Witten is a really, really good guy. But, man, he just did not do well being in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, not everybody's Tony Romo.
Yeah, exactly. He just did not do well in the broadcast booth. And I think that and a lot of the criticisms that he got kind of pushed him back to football.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready to give it up, football up just yet. And I hated that he went to the Raiders. But, you know, when you want to play and somebody takes you, that's where you go,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I was happy to see him score a couple touchdowns. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at some point, right, even Tom Brady at one point will retire.
He will. He has
at
to.
At one point, Father Time catches up with everybody, and he makes you leave the game that you love.
Yeah.
Nobody. It's sad to see Witten go, but wherever he goes, I wish him well. I think he's going to be a great coach coaching the kids because I know he's got that temperament and that patience for that.
Liberty Christian School in Texas. That's where he's heading. And also retiring among the bigger names is Steelers safety Marquise Pouncey, which leads us to the news that Big Ben wants to play another season. I really thought they would retire together. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But it seems like Roethlisberger wants to play one more season, perhaps restructuring his contract a bit, which leads me to the thing that I will no longer call the Pittsburgh Steelers Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just from now on, it's Big Ben and the TikTok crew.
I like that. The TikTok crew, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, once, you know, I think these quarterbacks are all in position to kind of call their own shots and say, hey, I want to come back for another year. I'm going to figure it out. You know, you see that with Tom Brady. He's Tom Brady, in his mind, he could still play for another 5 years. Yes. You know, you ask him. I don't think he can, but he, you know, that's his belief. If Roethlisberger is healthy, I think he can come back for another year. He probably will. But it's going to hurt without Pouncey there. It's going to hurt.
I mean, also, Pouncey wasn't much there this year. And when he played, he was the one who snapped the ball over Roethlisberger against the Browns in the playoffs. Was it in the playoffs? Yeah, right. And, yeah, like I said, I thought those two would retire together. But it looks like Roethlisberger will be the only man standing from that draft class since Rivers retired and Manning last year. We'll see. Also, I read today on NFL.com that Drew Brees is thinking about restructuring his contract too. So he didn't say for real he will retire. I say it's in his best interest to retire. But we will see.
Yeah, I think he is going to retire. I think the reason he's doing this is because, you know, he has still guaranteed money coming his way.
Yeah.
So by restructuring his contract, he's going to let the Saints kind of like move that money so that it doesn't hit him all at once. It hits him over time.
Yeah.
And he kind of does them a favor. And then he, you know, says peace out and he retires and he walks out the door. Yeah. I think it's time for him. You know what? I really think he was part of the reason why they lost that final playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could not stretch the field. He could not throw the ball down the field. I don't think he threw. I think he in the entire game, he threw one pass that went past 15 yards.
He threw none further than 20. Zero. Right. Zero passes 20 yards plus.
At all. So that's a problem. And I think he finally realized it. You know, once again, it all comes down to Father Time. It's really hard when your body tells you, I can no longer play this game at the level that I expected. Because I could play, you know, he could throw the football. but he can't throw the football at the level where he needs to be to be able to make every throw down the field. And it catches up with everybody. And Drew Brees played it great. You know, he got his one Super Bowl win, which is more than other quarterbacks can say.
Yes.
And, you know, he took a – he came back from a beating this year, and the fact that they were able to kind of still be competitive in the playoffs was good, but it's definitely time for him to go.
I mean, the fact that he came back after a punctured lung was amazing.
Yeah.
He had a phenomenal career. I think the year where they lost against the Rams 2 years ago, that was his year to get to the Super Bowl again. They got screwed a bit and screwed themselves with the interception in overtime. But he wasn't that good last year, and this year, he's. I mean, like you said, he can throw the ball. He can throw it 1,000 times better than me. So who am I to tell him, right? But I guess it's time for him to hang the cleats up and be father. I mean, he doesn't have as much kids as Rivers, but he has a few. So, So we'll see. That's that. And the last piece of news I want to get out that's more interesting for us here in Europe, but I'm pretty excited. The news came out a few hours ago that the Big Ten Conference, the college football, will play their first game of the season, week zero, practically, in Dublin. Illinois will take on Nebraska in Dublin.
Really?
Yeah. If COVID...
The Cornhuskers.
Yeah, if COVID lets it happen, we will see. But it's scheduled. I really wanted to go this year because it was supposed to be Notre Dame versus Navy in Dublin. But it got canceled.
That got canceled, which I thought was going to be really cool to see.
Yeah.
So Nebraska and the Fighting Illini, that'll be a good game.
I hope so. And perhaps the NFL will come back. We will see. Like I said, I'm still hoping for a game in Germany because we're getting bigger. I mean, we have a few guys in the NFL. We had a few guys right here in Germany. Like I said, in Free TV, we have it. You remember Björn Werner, the first round pick from the Colts?
Yeah.
He's doing Free TV now here in Germany. And they're getting bigger. I guess our most accomplished dude was the tackle from the New England Patriots, Sebastian Vollmer. He was the left tackle for a long time and won 2 Super Bowls, I guess. Jacob Johnson at the moment is playing for the Patriots fullback. We have Mark Nezosha, something like that. He was drafted by the Cowboys, by the way, and is now with the 49ers. So we have a few German guys. In college, there are many, many German guys. So, it's getting bigger here. We'll see what this takes. And I still hope that the NFL will play in Frankfurt or München or something like that in further...
That'll be a good game. Make sure you try to get out to that one.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get in the U.S. first for a game. But we will see.
Okay, so who do you have over there as big number 72 hanging back there behind you?
That's a jersey from me I played in.
That's your jersey. Look at that.
Those are my jerseys.
I was like, is that Refrigerator Perry? Who is
no,
that?
No. Those are mine. The jerseys I played when I played.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, one last piece of news. I almost forgot that. Stephen, the trade of the offseason, at least.
Oh, God. I don't want to talk about this one.
The LA Rams. I'm still saying St. Louis Rams, by the way. It's like you saying San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
That's me saying Los Angeles Rams. Not saying Los Angeles Rams most of the time. They gave up basically everything, 2 first-round picks and Jared Goff in exchange for Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions, which means the Rams won't have a first-round pick until, I don't know, 2051 or something.
2024.
Yeah.
Man. Eight years of no first-round picks. Yeah. That's what they've done. 8 years.
That's, yeah. I mean, for real, I thought Stafford would go to, that he would end in Indianapolis. That's what I thought. Because I thought they were the team with the best option for him to compete right away. Also, the Rams are not that bad of a destination. I mean, poor Jared Goff now has to go to from LA to Detroit, which is a bit different to live, I guess.
Yeah, so you know how we said earlier in the show that the Randy Moss trade between Minnesota and Oakland, that's what started the whole NFL Rams raid? Well, when I heard this raid, it almost made me come back and start doing the show all over.
Do it.
Because it was ridiculous. It came out of the blue.
Yeah.
No one was expecting it. No one was talking about it. Like, it literally just was like, what in the world were the Rams thinking? Not only do you give up your starting quarterback, which you just took in the first round just a couple of years ago, you're going to give him up. You're going to give up a third rounder. You're going to give up two first rounders over the next 3 years. And you're getting a quarterback who in his prime was very athletic and very good, but is now about to be 34 years old. He's got a bad back. In the last three seasons, he hasn't been able to finish all 16 games. He's got injuries. And the only reason why you're doing this to me is to get rid of a contract that you don't like. I wasn't a big fan when they gave Jared Goff that $105 million contract with almost all of it guaranteed. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got to a Super Bowl, but he looked bad in the Super Bowl. I mean.
And he wasn't the reason that they got.
I was like, let's calm down. Let's let him play. He's still got a couple more years under his rookie contract. Let's let him play that out and let's see if he can get you back to the Super Bowl and if he gets better because. The Patriots exposed him in the Super Bowl. They scored, what, 3 points, right? That was 13-3 Super Bowl. So your defense held the New England Patriots to 13 points, and you couldn't score 14? You scored three?
Yeah.
That was not good for the offense there. And this season, Jared Goff seemed like he was getting better in some games, but then in some games he looked really, really bad. And especially in the playoffs, against the Packers, he looked really bad. Like he did not belong on the same field as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But to blow up your team, and now you're going to go 8 years without a first round draft pick to get a quarterback that's not necessarily going to make you better. I had a problem with that. I like Matt Stafford. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he's older. He's got injuries. He's got a back problem. I don't think the Rams got better. Usually when you make a trade like this, when you give so much away, it's because you feel you're going to make your team better and it's going to make you competitive, right?
Yes.
That's what you feel you're doing for your team. I don't think this made the Rams better. I think it made them worse. I still don't think they have a running game that is sufficient enough for when they got rid of Todd Gurley. Now you're going to bring in a brand new quarterback. You've got Cooper Kupp under contract, but you still got some receivers like Woods and stuff that you got to get under contract so you can keep them there for a while. I think the serious downgrade is where Jared Goff was a mobile quarterback and you could do those rollouts or even throw the ball, you know, switch the pocket from one side to the other. Matt Stafford can't do those rollouts anymore. He's not a young guy. So he's a straight back strap, you know, go 3, 5, 7 steps and release the football kind of a quarterback. And I think the Rams made themselves worse. So
I don't know if they made,
you know, for the Lions part. Yeah, we got Jared Goff. Let's see if we can work with him for a while. But if we can't, we'll use one of these nice first round draft picks that we got to get us ourselves a quarterback. So
yeah,
I think the Lions, it was a steal that like, the Lions said, wait, you're going to give us, oh, we'll take it. We will take that huge, awful contract that you guys get Jared Goff, and we'll live with it for a couple of years. So, yeah.
I think, too. I mean, when I read that, it was like, I mean, they really robbed the Rams. It was
a flitzing. It was a fleecing, a highway robbery, whatever you want to call it. That's what the Lions got away with there. And it almost brought me out of retirement.
Yeah.
You might be happy because it almost brought me out of retirement.
Yeah, wait what the Texans now get for Watson. Perhaps that brings you out of retirement.
Well, it's going to have to be a pretty penny, right? I mean, two first rounders for Matthew Stafford, I think it's – Watson is going to command a lot more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Stafford. I think he was – very underrated in his time just because he was with Detroit, right? I mean, he had a few years with Calvin Johnson, but it was still Detroit, right? Like you always said, it was the kitty cats. So,
I think some people were tweeting too, hey, that's not fair. You wouldn't give Barry Sanders his freedom papers. You wouldn't give Megatron his freedom papers. Why are you giving Matt Stafford his freedom papers?
Yeah. But I don't know if the Rams made their situation worse. But like you said, it's not, you gave up way too much, especially when you think with what they give up. I mean, Stafford basically has to bring them at least to the championship game next year. That's what they have to expect for him. I don't say they do. But when you give up so much, and I really don't
look,
like that fate.
You know, and then you just got to look at that division. The Seahawks are still going to be there. San Francisco, you know, if they can stay healthy, they'll be a team to be reckoned with. And then the Arizona Cardinals have been playing good football. You know, and if Kyler Murray takes the next step and he grows, he's going to be pretty good. So,
It's not the NFC worst anymore.
No, and then you got to think, hey, the San Francisco 49ers might make a play with Green Bay to get Aaron Rodgers. So can you imagine Aaron Rodgers coming to the Bay Area and with Kittle and the weapons, and they could run the football?
That would be
San Francisco might make a big move there. We'll see.
We'll see. I'm very. How do you say? I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So last piece before we get to the game, Steven, which team do you think will have the biggest downfall from this year, and which will surprise us the most in the 2021 season? Right now, you don't know what happens in the draft.
Wow. But... Well, downfall. I think. You know, and this is not going to be very popular with New England Patriots fans. But I think the Patriots, you know, they tried with the Cam Newton. I call the Cam Newton experiment.
Yes.
Obviously, they're not re-signing him. He's become a free agent again. They still don't know who they have at the quarterback position. And, hey, you know what? There's a quarterback they let go. He's playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? So, that team is it's not very good offensively. And until they find a quarterback to come in and buy into the system, you know, and buy into Bill Belichick, I think they're going to be worse last year than they were this year.
Mm.
I also, as much as I like the AFC, the Cleveland Browns on the AFC side, I think they might take a step back.
Okay.
I think they had a chance this year, and it kind of fell apart there at the end because they couldn't tackle a backup quarterback.
Right? No, he threw the ball.
Well, I'm just talking before that. Before that, he got him all the way to within a half a yard. Right, it was like third and whatever,
and he made 18 yards.
Third and 18, and he made 17 yards. Yeah. Like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think they might take a step back.
Yeah.
As far as teams that I think are going to have an upside and going to surprise us next year, as much as it pains me to say this, as much as it hurts me to say this, I think Ron Rivera has got something brewing there in D.C.
Yeah.
I hate liking a team that is called the football team because they're the football team.
Yeah.
But, you know how much I dislike that football team, by the way, yes. Especially just because of their name. But I think that Ron Rivera has definitely got that team pointed in the right direction. If he can get his quarterback situation sorted out, the way he's got that defense playing is it's the defense of old that he had with Carolina, where he just they're pretty fierce. They get after the quarterback. They've got a good secondary. So I expect the Washington football team to be a team that you're going to have to reckon with. But then I also like the Arizona Cardinals. I think that, you know, if they can start trusting Kyler Murray a little bit more and, you know, they're on the offense side of the ball, they're going to be a pretty good team to reckon with as well next year. Mm. So I got Arizona and Washington and the NFC being a team to watch. They're going to climb. I think the Browns and the Patriots will decline a little bit next year on the AFC side of the ball. And hopefully the Dallas Cowboys can stay healthy and maybe win a few games for me and make me happy.
Yeah. I like also Washington. I used to do fun of them because of the name. I called them different names from soccer, basically. So I said FC Washington and VfL Washington and Sports Friends Washington. Every week I took another name. Like the Washington Hotspurs and something like that. Just because
Washington
of the
Hotspurs.
You take whatever name I gave him. And yeah, I remember I said in my preview show, I had Washington at 2-14/7-9. And I said, it really depends if Alex Smith is a quarterback or not. Right. Because I really didn't like Haskins. And yeah, I mean, he showed me. But yeah. I always liked Alex Smith. I liked him with the Chiefs. I liked him with the 49ers. He's not a Tom Brady, yes, but he's a pretty good quarterback. And I said if he plays for Washington, they will be better than with Haskins. And they showed me, right? Yeah. I think the team that will disappoint me the most next year are basically Big Ben and his TikTok crew, right? Yes, they have a good defense. I give them that. But as you saw how much that team imploded at the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that 11-0 record when they started, it was kind of smoke and mirrors. You know, they were undefeated for 11 games and it was great, but they, of those 11 games, four or five, I think it was five games that they won in like the last second or the last drive of the game, and they had to come back to win that football game. They struggled against the Dallas Cowboys with their four-string quarterback.
Yes.
You know, I was telling my friends, you know, or anybody who would listen about the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, don't be too happy with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. They're 11-0, but they could very well be 7-4 or, you know, be 6-5. So don't think they're just going to roll on into the playoffs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I hear you there. I definitely can see the Pittsburgh Steelers falling back.
Former head coach of mine, he's a big Steelers fan, and I really hate to tell him that. But, man, I mean, the way they handled their business, how do you come to the idea that dancing on a logo of an opposing team is a very good idea?
How
in the world? Beside the fact that it shows disrespect in every way, how do you get to this thing? Do you think this is a good idea? I don't know. And
The fact that the coach wouldn't stop him from doing that.
And they threw the ball so often and they had so many easy drops, right? It wasn't contested balls or something. It was, I mean, I could have catch those balls and I'm a horrible receiver. I was offensive lineman for a reason. Right? We will see. And I also think, unfortunately, Washington United perhaps will be a good football team next year, over the next years. There's not so much hope for my Giants. So we will see. We will see. Good. That's that. And then, my friend, we will come to the game, why we are doing this show. The Super Bowl is...
The big Super Bowl. El juego grande estupendo de la semana.
Right. I didn't say that because I can't... I always got lost in that... And that sentence, I tried it at the beginning once. It failed miserably, so I didn't do it. So the Kansas City Chiefs will travel to Tampa Bay to meet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the first team which will host the Super Bowl in their own stadium, if I am correct.
That is correct. But on a side note, the NFL has told them they cannot treat it like a home game. They won't be able to, you know, blare the cannons of the
pirate
ship when they score touchdowns because it's supposed to be a neutral site.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it will be a bit just because, one, it's a Super Bowl, right? The seats will be not go to the home team fans. And it won't be full because there will only be around 20,000 people. Mostly people from the health system who can watch.
Healthcare workers,
which is a nice thing for the NFL. Did you think it was right to play this year? Did you like it, the COVID season?
Well, to be quite honest, I was one of the reasons why I didn't do the show this year is I didn't think they'd finish.
Yeah.
I think they'd get a month or 2 months in, and there would have been so much, you know, disaster. I mean, and they did have their share of postponing of games and moving games around and stuff like that. They had a lot of that. I didn't think they'd finish because I just think it'd get too crazy and they'd have to miss too many games and they really wouldn't have been able to play a full season. The fact that I heard yesterday that only 0.08% of the players and their coaches got hit with COVID was impressive. Right. I mean, it's if you think that every team themselves, there's 53 players, there's probably another 20, 30 coaches. Then there's all kind of like staff that, you know, the team employs, and then within their facilities that every team's let's put the number at, 200 people, players and staff. And you multiply that by 32 and you got all that many people, only 0.08%. Got affected by COVID in some way or another. That's pretty impressive. So I hat tip that to the NFL. They did a great job doing that. I didn't think they were going to do it. And, I canceled all my fantasy football leagues.
That was crazy this year.
What's that?
I said this was crazy this year playing fantasy football.
Yeah, it was really crazy. So I didn't do a whole lot of, pick'ems or just because I didn't think it doesn't make sense to do it because I don't think that it's gonna go on for the whole season. The fact that they were able to play the full season, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So here we are at the end. The all-star team of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the other all-star team, I guess, the Chiefs. And I said I really thought, other way around. When you saw Tom Brady play his last games in Boston for the New England Patriots, you thought, okay, that's finally, thank God, that's it, right? So finally he's gone. As much as I respect the fact what he did, right? I mean, you can say, once was a tuck rule, once was his kicker, right? You can bring all those things up.
Right.
But at the end, he won 7 Super Bowls, was in 10. He's more Super Bowl appearances than basically every franchise in its history. And he goes to Tampa, and I thought, he still has a good game, has a few good games in him. I really thought I didn't thought he would get to the Super Bowl. Also, this is a team, when you just look at the names, who's basically deemed for success, right? You have to win now, because over the next years you can't pay all these players, and you don't know how long Tom Brady has left. So
yeah. Please. Yeah, you know what? What I found interesting that over the last a week or so, every article that I've seen, every you know, TV show that I've watched talking about the Super Bowl, getting you ready about the Super Bowl, everybody wants to love on Tom Brady. It's like, oh, you know, this is his 10th Super Bowl. That's amazing. How can you not want Tom Brady to win this game? You should want him. Everybody should be cheering for Tom Brady. I'm like,
no,
please, please. Are you serious? You really telling me that? So no, I'm not. I'm one of the few. I'm in the minority that will not be cheering for Tom Brady.
Yeah, me neither.
What's that?
Me not. Me neither. It's a
Neither. No, I'm not cheering for Tom Brady. Yeah. I would like to see his number of losses in Super Bowls increase. And you got to remember, the Kansas City Chiefs have a defensive coordinator who's been a defensive coordinator in the Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
He knows how to get after Tom Brady. Because, look, what we saw this even in the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. Even though they won, the minute the Packers started pressuring him in that second half, Tom Brady started falling apart through three interceptions.
Yes.
Really didn't look like himself. I think that's something Steve Spagnuolo knows from, you know, going up against him in a couple of Super Bowls when Spagnuolo's with the Giants and Brady's with the Patriots. And you get after Tom Brady. You hit him a couple of times. And you get him off his spot where he likes to release the football. And you start to rattle him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what the Chiefs are going to do. Look, on defense, hit Brady. On offense, it's going to be, let's get the ball quickly out of Mahomes' hands. Let's move Mahomes out of the pocket. And let's make some big plays down the field. I mean, I am going out on a limb here because I haven't seen this anywhere. And I think the Chiefs are only favored by 3.5.
Yeah, like, something like that.
It's a very small line. But I'm going to go big or go home, and I think the Chiefs win by 17 to 20 points. It's going to be a blowout. It's not even going to be close. Chiefs are going to get up early and often, and they're going to force the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers' strength is running the football with Fournette.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get him off of that. They're going to make Tom Brady throw the football, and by doing so, they're going to get after him and rattle him. You know, they've got, you know, Mateo in the backfield, the Chiefs, and he's kind of been the kind of X factor in these last couple playoff games. I mean, he's just been all over the field defensively. I think they get to Brady. I see two or three picks in this football game as well, and I think Tom Brady will go down, and they will make him seriously consider retiring from football because he will have nothing left to prove, and all he's going to prove is that, yeah, you're – Super Bowl winning record can continue to take hits if you get into the Super Bowl and keep losing.
Yeah.
Well, I got the Chiefs by, I'm going to say 17. I'm going to lock it in. 17 points. Take the Chiefs. Give up the 3 points because they're going to win big.
Okay. I also have the Chiefs. So we'll have no challenge game. Besides,
Wait.
No. I say the Chiefs win, but because of the challenge game, we're tied at 9 both. I'll take the Bucks. I'll take the blame.
Oh, he's going to go for it. You're gonna make the change of your picks so that you can have a challenge game?
Yeah.
This is what I love about the challenge game. It makes you do things that are crazy.
Let me tell why. So I'm taking the Chiefs. I say the Chiefs win. But for the sake of having a challenge game, because my deal with my listeners is, because I have a different person every week, right? I don't have one guy every week here.
Right.
So I made the deal with my listeners. The guy who loses the challenge game puts €5 in a box, and at the end we'll give the money to a charity organization.
Well, put me down. If I lose this challenge game, I will put some money in the box so you can
and that's the same thing I'm doing. So if the Chiefs lose, I'm giving the €5 in, but I think the Chiefs will win. So you know, it's just if the Bucks win, okay, that's it. Then you take the €5, and if the Chiefs win, I take the €5. So we just
you got it. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I just think Mahomes, you know, for as young as he is very football smart, right?
Yes.
There's being football smart, and he's both, right? Yeah. He's a smart kid, but he really understands the game at a level. You know, I love the point where he's at in his career where his mind tells his body to do something and he can do it.
Yeah.
Right. There's like, if he's like, I'm going to throw it like this and I'm going to throw a sidearms or I'm going to throw it overhand or whatever, however he wants to get rid of the ball, he has the ability to, his mind thinks it and his body can perform it. Now, yeah. He'd probably have that for another, you know, 5-6 years until his body starts to come down to earth a little bit. But for now, he is playing kind of like a superhuman. He,
yeah,
you know, it's really fast. He makes the decision. I'm not even looking at you, and I'm going to throw you the football. And it's
that's just unreal what he did. Just unreal.
It's pretty amazing. And the thing about Brady is, as well as he's done over the years, he's a robot back there, right? He's not very mobile. He can't get away. And I think the Chiefs will get after him. You know, they got after Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And Baker's a young, you know, athletic dude that can move around. I think they get after Tom Brady here. And the walls will come tumbling down.
Yeah. The only concern I'm really having with the Chiefs is basically they have from a standpoint or the thing to watch is the Bucks defense versus the Chiefs offense line, right? They lost Eric Fisher, their left tackle, in the game versus Buffalo in a non-contact injury. So basically their only remaining starter from the beginning of the season is their center, Dieter.
And I understand that, right? I think that's Richter's the center, right?
Yeah, Richter.
I think the thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have had the number one rush defense all year long.
Yeah.
They have stopped the run. So if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, why even do that?
Yeah.
You know, I've got a patchwork offensive line. My strength is my quarterback who can put the ball wherever I need him to. The Bucs are going to blitz. Let's burn the blitz. Let's get the ball out quickly. Let's, you know, get Edwards-Helaire or Bell coming out of the backfield, catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, they'll run the ball here and there to keep the defense honest, but I think their philosophy is going to come in. We're going to give you a heavy dose of Patrick Mahomes throwing the football, and that's how they get it done. And that will eliminate the need for having that stout offensive line running the football, because they won't have to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I mean, if you remember, those teams met in week 12, right? The Chiefs had 543 yards total offense. I mean, the Bucks had 417. That's not so. That's not less. That's a bit less, but not so much, right? Tyreek Hill had in the first quarter, like, what did he have? 2 touchdowns. 300 yards or something with
287 yards.
Yeah, something like that with 7 catches.
Half. Yeah, it was incredible. It was
ridiculous. And I mean, the Chiefs, for the fact alone that they threw the ball against the Browns in that fourth and one with Chad Henne, for that thing alone, they deserve to win that game. To have the cojones, really.
Because those were big ones, man.
Yeah, really.
To let your backup quarterback come in on 4th and 1 from near midfield.
Yeah.
To throw the football. That was impressive. That lets you know that Andy Reid feels, doesn't matter who I've got back there, we can put the ball where we want it whenever we want to. And yeah, I think it's going to be big. It's going to be a big game.
I think what's nice is that we will get a Super Bowl, which is nice to watch as a neutral fan, right? Because I remember 2 years ago, Patriots Rams, that was horrible. That was just, middle of the night in Germany. And you had to watch this game and you said, wow, when it's going to end. It's so annoying. And last year I watched with a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And that long pass to Tyreek Hill, and he went nuts. It was pretty funny. And I think we can expect a game like in week 12. It will be many points. It will be many yards. And at the end, it comes down to Patrick Mahomes, like you said, getting rid of the ball quick, because if he holds it too long, that won't help him. Therefore, the pass rush is too good. I mean,
here you go. 37-20 Kansas City over the Bucks.
Yeah, that could happen, yeah. I hope it, because I don't want to see Tom Brady win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He has enough, and the Chiefs really deserve it. Okay, so that's basically it. We both think the Chiefs will win. I'm very excited for the game. I'm very thankful that you took your time, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited for you. I think this is really awesome that you took what kind of I was doing. You found a hole. And you're like, I want to make my own. I'm very happy that you're out there doing it, because I know how much work it is to put the show together and put it out there for everyone. I mean, you said this was your 40th episode. That's amazing. Yeah. That you've done this many shows just this first season. So
yeah,
congratulations to you. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure, man.
Yeah. I did basically what you did the first seasons. I did a preview show and a review show. That's how you come to 40.
There you go.
That's a lot of time. Yeah. So thank you again very much. Enjoy your day. I know you're just starting. Take your time. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Stay healthy. That's the most important thing. And either come out of retirement. That's what I'm looking for. Or perhaps we can get next year for another show together and make another show just once. So you won't get much trouble.
Thank you very much. Feel free to reach out, my friend.
I'll do. Thank you very much, Stephen. That's it.
All right.
Bye.
We're out. Bye.